Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Listening to my voice when I record the programs, who might be going through another trial. And the message last week, as we will continue it this week, talks about the benefits of trial. And that seems rather odd to think that we can benefit from the trials of life. But the Bible talks about persecution coming. And of course, we discover how much we depend upon the Lord. So that song is a beautiful reminder by Greater Vision. And I hope that you were blessed by it. And I hope you'll enjoy the conclusion of the message, Benefits of Temptation, that I'll share on the program today. Thank you so much for supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. However, I need to tell you that the month of August, we had one of the lowest responses that we've had since I started producing the program in the year 2000. And in that we are listener supported, we must have the support of our listening audience if we're going to stay on the radio. So would you take a few minutes to pray about supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance? You can write to me, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the Venmo or the PayPal tabs there. Well, in the month of September, I am busy. I am closing revival services this weekend at Marksville Church of the Nazarene, Marksville, Louisiana. And then I'm going to have a few days off before my next revival. And September 21 to 24, I'll be traveling to Lenoir City, Tennessee, to Crossroads Church of the Nazarene for revival services. And then finish out the month in Orleans, Indiana. That's September 26 to 28 at the Church of the Nazarene. So as always, I need your prayers, and this ministry needs your prayers, and we thank you for it. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the prayers of the people. I want to thank you that we can bring our needs to you. You know what they are spiritually, and you also know what they are temporally, financially, emotionally. And I pray that you would minister to the hearts of those who are listening to my voice today, especially those who might be struggling, who are going through a trial. I pray that you'd be with them in a very special way. Pray that you'd touch the infirm, the shut-in, be with the churches, the pastors as they preach and worship. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to write to me, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
I love to weep and pray. me, O my Savior, bless me as I signal at Thy feet. Oh, look down in love upon me, let me see Thy face so sweet. Won't you give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus? Make me holy as He is, and let me prove I've been
trials and temptations have a way of driving me to my knees, seeking the face of God. If trials didn't come, I think I'd get cocky. We would get cocky and mistakenly believe that we don't need God in those moments of difficulty in our lives, and we would become terribly self-sufficient. We need Him, and we can have Him as we pray and as we extend our faith toward Him. My father was invited to preach at Bonnie Holiness Camp Meeting in Bonnie, Illinois in 1965. He had called the leaders of the camp and they needed some counselors, and so I was asked to be one of the counselors before going off to Bible college. I arrived at that camp meeting and I was working with the young people. And one afternoon, after we had recreation, I looked down the road that circled that campground. And we had played out on the ball field. Now we were playing ping pong there right alongside that road that went around the campground. And I saw walking down that road, handsome young man about 6'2". He walked up to me and to the rest of those young people. I said, "Hi, I'm Lane Lohman. I'm one of the counselors." He said, "My name's Sammy Dewey." "Good to meet you, Sammy. Why don't you join us? Let's play. Let's play ping pong." I played ping pong with him and he beat me soundly. He's a nice guy, handsome guy. As we were walking away from the recreation area, he said, "Hey Lane, I'm going to get my mom's car and I'm going to go down to the little store down here downtown Bonnie. Would you like to go with me?" I said, "Sure, I'd like to go with you, Sammy." And so I got in his car with him and we went downtown Bonnie, Illinois, went to that store, got a couple of soft drinks. And in the ensuing conversation, it was very obvious to me that Sammy could have cared less about being at that camp meeting. As a matter of fact, he told me, he said, "I didn't want to come. The only reason I'm here is because my mom made me come. Said, as soon as church is over tonight, I'm going home." Had service that night. I was sitting with the young people. We were down on this side of the tabernacle. Sammy was sitting about two rows behind me. He knew one of the young ladies in the youth group. Her name was Daphne. Preacher preached the message that night, and as he was preaching the message, the Holy Spirit did something to me that I'd never had done before to me. He spoke into my ear and said, "Lane, I want you to invite Sammy to go to the altar tonight." I was horrified. I'd never done anything like that before. And so I tried to bargain with God. I said, Oh God, I don't know about that. I've never done anything like that before. He said, "I want you to speak to him. Invite him to give his heart to me." I said, "All right. If he doesn't go by the end of the second verse of the invitation song, then I'll speak to him." We stood and we began to sing the invitation song, sang through verse 1, and I'm praying, "Oh God, cause Sammy to go on his own. Cause Sammy to go on his own." And Sammy didn't go on his own. We got to the second verse. Oh, God, help Sammy to move out from the seat and come down to the altar and give his heart to you right now. He didn't move to the aisle and come down to the altar into the second verse. I kept my end of the bargain. And I turned around a couple of steps back to his pew. He was taller than I. And I looked up into his face and I said, Sammy, I'd like for you to go to heaven with me. The wonderful thing about God speaking to us in a moment like that is that he goes before us. And he had already been dealing with Sammy Dewey, been convicting his heart of his need to confess his sins. And when I said that, tears welled up in his eyes. And that young man looked at me and said, hey, Lane, I'd like to go to heaven with you. He stepped out and we came together to the altar. His mother was sitting on that side of the tabernacle. She saw her boy come to the altar. She'd been praying for him. And she came and knelt beside him. And I remember I took my handkerchief out and gave it to him as he wept his way to Jesus that night. He said, can I keep this handkerchief? I said, you sure can. He went home, but he didn't stay. Got enough clothes to come back and stay the rest of the camp. Became an integral part of the youth program that year. Camp ended. I went off to Bible college. January of my first year in Bible college, we had a missions gathering. Austin Boggan was the missionary. I think he was with WGM. And he began to tell a story about what it means to witness and to share your faith. Begin to tell a story about a young man out in southern Illinois who had gone to a camp meeting. And during a camp meeting service, that young man had stepped out and came to the altar and gave his heart to Jesus. And after he got right with the Lord, he went back home to where he lived there in southern Illinois. Actually, he lived in Paducah, Kentucky. And he went back to Paducah, Kentucky, where he was a senior in high school. And over the next couple of months, he began to share his faith. He was president of the student body. He was instrumental in winning close to 40 people to Jesus Christ in a matter of just 2 months. After basketball practice one night, he was on his motorcycle riding home. His mother and his girlfriend were in the car behind him. Young lady pulled out of a service station entrance into his pathway. And that young man was killed that night. His name was Sammy Dewey. When that service was over at John Wesley Bible College, I walked up to Austin Boggan and I said, Austin, I was there that night. I prayed with Sammy Dewey. I'd never heard that he had gotten killed. The news didn't travel back to North Carolina from Kentucky and southern Illinois that Sammy Dewey had died in that accident. It was tragic. Maxine Dewey, his mother, had said goodbye to her husband, her father, and her son in a span of 9 months. Three most important men in her life taken. The day they buried Sammy, Maxine Dewey sat in her kitchen at her kitchen table, and across the table was the young lady who had driven the car into the path of her son's motorcycle and caused his death. And Maxine Dewey loved on that young lady and led her to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can't do that if you don't know what it is to watch and pray. During adversity, we learn the value of prayer. We learn the value of watching and holding on to Jesus Christ in those difficult times in our lives. And he gets us through it. During adversity, when you get through it, when you conquer, and you come out the other side of it, then you are strengthened in your faith. You grow in your trust. I look back to the Old Testament, and I see that David is a perfect illustration of this. And you know his story well, I know, because he was out caring for his father's livestock, and a bear came out of the wild, a lion came out of the wild, and he killed them both with his hands. And then he went down into the camp of the Israelite army, and they were fearful of the giant Goliath of Gath. And he said, I'll take him on. And you know that story. Took 5 smooth stones and a sling, and he killed Goliath and cut off his head and won the victory. I believe he was able to do that because he trusted the God who had helped him conquer the lion and the bear. And the giant was nothing to him because he trusted God. When we go through the adversity and God brings us through, we become stronger in our faith and trust in God. We don't get so excited about the problems of life. Oh, yes, they're there. But we know that we can trust Him because of what He's done for us in the past. Because of how He strengthened us during those other times. We learn that adversity is temporary, but God is eternal. And He's always there. When you conquer and survive the test, your faith is strengthened. Your trust is enlarged in God. Last of all, when we face adversity, we can be a greater witness to those around us. I think one of the greatest evidences of the grace of God is the way that He can sustain us in the midst of our adversity. The world really doesn't care if you're a Christian. I mean, you can talk to them about your Christianity, and that's fine. You can believe the way you believe, but then when they see you go through adversity, when they see you tested and tried, they'll step back and they'll look and they'll watch and they'll see how you respond as a Christian in times of adversity. And it's during those times that we can be a greater witness to those who do not know Jesus Christ. They see in us something they don't have. We have the sustaining grace of Jesus Christ in those days. I have five significant spiritual and ministry influencers in my life. One was my father. He taught me so much regarding evangelism. One was a man by the name of Richard Hogue. He was a Baptist youth evangelist out of Oklahoma. He taught me the value of energy. Don't be boring with the Word of God. Dr. Stephen Manley, who passed away this past April, he taught me how to study the Word of God. Dr. Mark Rutland taught me, stay current, Lane. Don't live in the past. And I listened to him for years. He said, keep current with the Word of God. And Dr. Tom Hermes, he said, Lane, if they can't apply it, it's no good. So when you preach, be sure they can apply the Word of God to their lives. Dr. Hermes told this story in one of his sermons. He said one night when he was pastoring over in the state of Ohio, he was to speak at a Friday night, Good Friday service out in the country. He said, I was driving down the road. The sun was just beginning to set. And he said the headlights were beginning to come on the cars approaching me. And he said, as I drove down that two-lane road outside of my hometown, he said, I noticed a car coming toward me. And all of a sudden, the headlights began to swerve back and forth like that. He said, then all of a sudden, I noticed that they disappeared over the side of the road, down an embankment. He said, I was the first one to arrive at the scene of the accident. He said, I got out of my car and just disregarded the fact that I was dressed in a coat and tie. I was going to go to preach. And he said, I just began to run down the side of the embankment. And he said, I almost tripped over a little girl. She had been thrown clear of the wreck. He said, I looked at her and she was crying and her arm was twisted and it was obvious it was broken. He said, I stopped and said, honey, you just sit as still as you can. Somebody will be here soon. He said, I went on down to where the car had come to rest. It was on its roof. He said, as I approached the car, I noticed from the back of the car, two little legs coming out from under the car. It was obvious. It was a little boy. He'd been thrown out and the car had rolled over on him. The mother was on the inside. She was crying. She had not been hurt. Seriously, she was crying. And he said, I got hold of the car door and with me pulling out, she was pushing from the other side. We finally got the door open and she crawled out and she said, where's my daughter? Where's my daughter? And he said, I told her, she's right up there. She's okay. I think her arm is injured, but she's going to be all right. Where's my boy? He said, ma'am, I don't think you need to see him. I want to see my boy. He said, I walked her around the back of that car and she saw his little legs. And she just stopped and said, he's with Jesus. He said, I helped her up the side of the hill to where her daughter was sitting in the grass. Ambulance was on its way. You could hear the siren in the distance. He said, then I looked and I saw a man come down that embankment. Where's my family? And he saw me sitting there with his wife and daughter. He took them in his arms, and then he said, where's my boy? Dr. Hermes said, I said, he's down there by the car, but I don't think you need to see him. I want to see my boy. He said, I walked down to where the car was. He saw those two little legs. And like his wife, he said, my boy's with Jesus. He said, I walked back up the side of that hill, and he sat there in that grass as they waited for the EMTs to come and take them to the hospital. He said, I don't think I'd ever seen anybody with such strength and stamina as they shown that night. They came and carried them off in the ambulance. I went on to my preaching assignment. He said, the following Sunday, I was at one of the local churches for a community-wide Easter Sunday service. He said, I walked into that church that night, and in the vestibule was one of our doctors from our city. He said, I walked in, and he handed me a program for the service that night, and he stopped me. He said, you're Dr. Hermes, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. He said, you were out there at that accident this last Friday, weren't you? He said, yes, I was. He said, Dr. Hermes, I was working in the emergency room when they brought that family in. He said, I don't do things like that anymore. I have my own practice, but I was helping out a colleague, and I was just standing in there at the emergency room. But I believe it was providential. He said, they brought that family in. And he said, I watched them and listened to them. He said, I didn't realize there were still people alive that had the kind of faith in God that they had. He said, I had an aunt that had that kind of faith in God. He said, I'm in church today for the first time in years because of what I saw this past Friday night in the emergency room. During adversity, we can be a greater witness to those around us.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.